You're a dedicated button down?
I am.
I'm a dedicated button. All right. Oh, I got to turn this up so you can see. Oh, and I have this misaligned. How do I know it's misaligned? Because I knew I can, I've got very good, like, I can tell angles and stuff like that, spatial relations, and I knew it was not pointed straight at the screen. What?
Like, they offered that along with the Johns Hopkins test thing. I was like one out of five. No one takes that test.
Really? What is spatial relations?
Yeah.
I will, if I have to brag about something, I will say my spatial relations skills are outstanding. No, spatial relations, I can take flat figures and fold them up and know what they're supposed to look like pretty well.
Yeah.
I don't necessarily have, that's not a high IQ.
Okay,
here we go. Inverse functions. Fobs and Goffs, when we discuss Fobs and Goffs, we also often will discuss inverses. They'll go together. This is the one thing, let me make sure this is on, this is the one topic that you'll remember next year how to do, guaranteed. My senior analysis, we just started talking inverses, and when I said a few words, they were like, oh, I know how to do it. You're going to know how to do this. This is an easy, it's an easy problem to do. It's a little, the theory can be a little confusing, but that's what we're going to work, spend most of today working on, is the theory behind it. Okay, I'm going to tell you the definition of an inverse function. Oh, actually not an inverse function, a one-to-one function. We talked about this with birthday examples. Does anyone remember? I mean, you can read that, but that may not give it away. Does anyone remember what was the deal with a one-to-one function? What do you think? What about the birthdays? That's a regular function. Good, that's a function. Every person can only have one birthday. What additionally happened with a one-to-one?
That every birthday can only have one person.
Every birthday can have only one person. That each person, not only can each person only have one birthday, that's a function. No one can share a birthday. That's a one-to-one. So I gave you two sets of points. First one is one-to-one. The second one is not. Where does the second one fail? The twos, right? 2-2 and 3-2. They share the same birthday. Okay. What's the graphic way to test regular functionality? What was that test called? Vertical line test. How about one-to-one functions? What line test would they probably have? Horizontal, right, because the y's can't overlap. Good. So vertical line test for regular functions, and for a one-to-one function, a horizontal line test. A parabola that opens up. Is that a one-to-one function?
No.
I'll show you a picture of a non-one-to-one function, a cubic. As long as not only does every x not have a y, not share a y, and every y doesn't share an x, that is a one-to-one function. Okay, an inverse function. This is the formal definition of an inverse function. Two functions are said to be inverses if and only if you Fog and Goff them and you get x. You get x.
Oh, the letter.
You get x, yeah. Like, let's say you're plugging x into f. Well, actually, let's not go real complicated. That is a composite of a function with its own inverse will give you x. That is the definition. That can be a little confusing. So what I'm going to show you is some ideas about what it really means in terms of language you can understand, and then we're going to see how to find it. And essentially what happens is if you think about, let's think about it logically. If I've got a function f of x, is it a question that perhaps I may answer in 30 seconds? Write down the question on the top of the paper and hold off. Okay. All right. I'm going to give you two functions. Now, this is not technically right, but for our purposes right now, and I'll explain where I have led you slightly astray. Let's say I plug in 3 in here. What will I get?
Nine.
Plug that 9 in here. What do I get back out?
Three.
Okay. Plug in a negative. Plug in 2 here. What do I get out?
4.
Plug 4 back into this one. What do you get out?
2.
Okay. So plug x in here. What do you get? Now plug x squared into here. What do you get back out? X. When you fog a function with its own inverse, you get x. You get what you started with. All right. So I'm going to give you those two functions. Let's talk about this. What is f of g of x? What's f of root x? What are we going to do to root x? Get x. Let's take Goffit. G of x squared is going to be x again. All right. I would like you to find those values, f of 0, f of 1, f of 2, and f of 3, and list them as a table. So x, plug in x being 0 into f of x, x being 1, x being 2, x being 3. Plug those in. Just draw it as a table, though. Yeah, sure. Now do the same thing, but I want you to find g of 0, 1, 4, and 9. G of those values. James, you're just shaking your head like, well, duh, because what are you seeing coming back out?
The same
x values, right? If I plug in 0, I get 0, 1, 1, 4, 2. 9, 3. Okay. It's like a circle. It gets you back to where you started. Okay. What do you notice about each XY pair? I've got 0, 0, 0, 0, 1, 1, 1, 1, 2, 4, 4, 2, 3, 9, 9, 3. Yeah, that's what's going on. For each ordered pair xy, the inverse creates the ordered pair yx. That's what happens. And my favorite way to explain this is, where was I this weekend? That had a
Super
giant
Bowl.
Gumball machine.
Super Bowl.
No, it wasn't, no.
The mall.
I was somewhere, no, I wasn't at the mall this weekend. Was it a Target maybe? There was a giant gumball machine. Do you know those giant ones with the multicolored gumballs? Okay, let's pretend you've got one of those, you go into the mall and you've got 4 quarters. You've got a New Jersey quarter, you've got a Delaware quarter, you've got a Virginia quarter, and you've got a North Carolina quarter.
You think of that when you're like at the Target. That's like so cool.
I know. I'm dorky like that. All right, let's say you plug in the New Jersey quarter and get out a pink gumball. You plug in the Delaware quarter and you get out a green gumball. Plug in the Virginia quarter, you get out the blue gumball. And then plug in the North Carolina quarter and you get out the purple gumball. That's like my XY pair, the quarter of the gumball. What would the inverse bubblegum machine do?
Put in the gumball.
Well, a little more specifically, when I plug in the pink gumball, I'd get out New Jersey quarter. I'd plug in the green gumball. I'd get out the Delaware. Plug in the blue. I'll get out Virginia. Purple gets me North Carolina. That is an inverse function, gets you exactly what you started with. Okay, the notation for an inverse. Now this is where I'm going to show you I was actually kind of sneaky when I did this problem because I didn't actually express it quite correctly. No, but it's okay. It was for the purposes of explaining the theory, I led you astray a tiny bit. If I plug in negative 1, what do I get out for my f of x? And plug in negative 2 and negative 3. Now let's remember then our inverse, I would have to actually get 0, 0, 1, 1, 4, 2, 9, 3, 1, negative 1, 4, negative 2, 9, negative 3. How would I get this table of values if it's written like this? What's missing here? Not I's, careful, but you're on the right track. Plus and minus, right? Square root, we have to get the positive and the negative. Now, so I've kind of misled you because what does g of x imply that this is?
only a one.
It implies it's a what?
Function.
It's a function. And is this really a function? Not really, not really. And I didn't want to talk about that at the beginning because I wanted to just sort of get you along with the idea of a function. So this notation is actually incorrect. Notation for an inverse. If your inverse also is a function, you write it as f negative 1 of x. You guys are used to negative 1 meaning reciprocal. That is not true when you're talking about functions. If it's just next to a regular variable, like an m or a b or a q or an r in a fraction, yeah, negative means reciprocal. But when it is taught, when you're dealing with functions or relations, it will, negative means the inverse function. That is, if you have an f, you write f negative 1 of x if it is a function, and you write y negative 1 of x if it is not a function. So this one I should have written like that.
So y negative 1 of x or just y
negative 1? Y negative 1. You don't write a parentheses x because that implies it's a function. You have to decide. One of the clearest ways, plus minus. Because I can choose then. If I plug in 25, I could get 5 or negative 5, right? Not a function. Okay? Typically, if you're going to be square rooting, if you've got a square root symbol and there's a plus minus in front of it, not going to be a function. You're going to tell whether it's a function the same way as we always have told, like the way back at the beginning of chapter 2, we kind of looked at it and said, if I plug in an x value, could I get a couple y values out, or could I only get one y value out? Now, let's look at the visual of an inverse. And I'm going to draw this one first for you. Tell me about that first graph. It is a f of x equals x squared.
A parabola,
which we have a test on tomorrow. I'm going to graph this one by plotting points, though, because honestly, the vertex, the directrix, and all that stuff. He was having a little fun. Now, here's the inverse. 0, 0, 1, 1, 1, negative 1. 2, let's see, 4, 2, 4, negative 2. The purple is the inverse. See how the inverse is not a function? And what was the original graph? Is the original graph a function?
Yeah.
Is the original graph a one-to-one function?
No.
That's what happens. That's why we talked about one-to-one functions. If your original graph is one-to-one, then your inverse should be a function, will be. If your original function is not one-to-one, your inverse will not be a function. The purple is not a function, right? Okay, now, if I said to you, I want you to draw this picture on a piece of paper. We're not going to do it. But I want you to fold the paper somewhere so that the function and the inverse lie on top of each other. Where do you think that fold would be? On a diagonal. And it is a very specific diagonal. It is the diagonal y equals x. Functions, this is another This is another one. This is an exponential function. After we get through Fogs, Goffs, and inverses, we're doing actually what is my favorite thing, logarithms. I love logarithms. And one of the things about logarithms is they are inverses of exponential functions. So that's what those two pictures happen to be. That original function is, I think it's y equals 2 times x, 2 times x to the, or 2 times, I can't remember what it is. 2 times 1 to the x, something like that. This is the inverse. They reflect across the line y equals x. And look at that little point I gave you, 1, 2, 2, 1. This looks like the point maybe, 0, 1 and a half. This point is 1 and a half, 0. The x, y switch, and they reflect across the line y equals x. That's the visual of an inverse.
Is it always y equals x?
Yep. The inverse of any function will reflect across the line y equals x. Okay, this is the easy part, finding the inverse. And once you see it, it's probably going to make sense to you. replace every y, every x with a y, and every y with an x, and then solve for y. Because what does an inverse do? An inverse implies you put in your answer and get out your own question. So if I start by reversing my xy values and isolate for y, it's going to give me the expression for the inverse. Look at this first problem right here. Y equals x squared. That's the original function. So how do I find its inverse? Replace every x with a y, every y with an x. How would I isolate y? Square root both sides. That would mean y was equal to, and when I square root, what do I always introduce? Plus or minus. There it is. That's how you find an inverse, and it is so easy. For every x, put in a y. For every y, put in an x. And then solve for y. It's easy. All right. Now, in the book, I think a lot of times they'll say, make sure these two functions are inverses. And the way they want you to do it is fog and goff the two functions and get x. I'd like you to try that once with one problem. I think a couple problems tonight say to do that. Do it just once. Take your two answers, your function and your inverse. Fog them, goff them, make sure you get x. All right, so I'd like you to try this problem.